So today we're discussing Lord Balaram. Today is the auspicious appearance day of Lord Balaram. In Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wants to inform us about the identity of Lord Balaram. Sankarsana Karnatoshayi Garbhodashayi Cha Payobdashayi Sheshascha Yasyangsha Kala Sinitya Nandakya Rama Shananam Namastu. Of course, he's explaining the position of Lord Balaram in order to explain the identity of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Krishna, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu is the same Balaram. Rajendra Nandana Jay, Shachi Shishto Hai Loshe, Balaram Hai Lo Nitai. So he explains that Lord Sankarshan, Sheshanaga, and the Purusha avatars, the three Vishnus, are all portions and portions of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is the Lord Krishna, of course, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original personality of Godhead. And Lord Balaram is practically not different from Krishna. The only difference, sometimes Srila Prabhupada explained, is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. Krishna has different kinds of direct expansions. In one, he expands himself as in exactly the same form. When he married 16,000 queens, he simply expanded himself into 16,000 Krishnas, 16,100 forms, and married all of the girls individually. Similarly, when he was dancing with the gopis, he expanded himself into as many forms as there were gopis. So all of those forms were identical. They were the same Krishna, but manifested in multiplicity. That's one kind of expansion. And in another kind of expansion, he's practically the same, but some features are different. Just like Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is Krishna, but there's some change. Color change. And some other features. Lord Balaram is a little older, and so on. So then, Lord Balaram takes a different... appears to be a different personality. Therefore, it's described when the Krishna avatar is described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then it's described that in this avatar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Krishna Balaram. Not simply Krishna, but Krishna Balaram. Because they're both the personality of Godhead. Lord Balaram is the first expansion from Krishna. Krishna is the original, then his first expansion is Balaram. And from Balaram, all of the different Vaikuntha expansions have come. The spiritual sky is full of Vaikuntha planets, and on each planet there's a different form of Narayan. Well, all those Narayan forms are expanded from Lord Balaram. From Balaram we come to Sankarshan, from Sankarshan, Vasudev, Sankarshan, so we say Sankarshan Narayan, then Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha. Then it goes on expanding, another Sankarshan. Finally we come to the Mahavishnu, and from him the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, then from him the Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. These are all expanded, and from them also, we get the different avatars in the material world. Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Nrsingadev, Rama, they're all expanded from Lord Vishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Then, but Krishna comes directly, Krishna Stubhagavan Swayam. Otherwise, they're all manifestations from the Purusha avatars. The situation of the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets, or Vaikuntha sky, spiritual sky, is also maintained by Lord Balaram. The Sandhini energy manifests the spiritual sky, the existence potency of the Lord. And this is all under the control of Lord Balaram, whole spiritual sky. The Sheshanag is also a manifestation of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram appears as Shesha at the bottom of the universe. He's holding all the universes on his head, on his hoods. So many innumerable universes. But they appear to him of no weight at all. Although they're so heavy, but for him they're like nothing. Easily he's supporting them. And then again he's appearing as the couch of Lord Vishnu. When Lord Vishnu is appearing as Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, then Lord Balaram appears as Anantadev. And he serves as the Lord's couch. He serves as his slippers, his umbrella, his Brahmin thread. All of this paraphernalia is supplied by the Lord in the form of Anantadev. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami points out that although Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he serves the original personality of Godhead. Just as, in Rama avatar, then Lakshman is serving Lord Ram. In the Krishna avatar, Lord Balaram is always serving Krishna. He's appearing as the elder brother and giving protection. Jashodamayi is always having Balaram watch out for Krishna's welfare. So he's in the mood of service. When he's serving as the couch of the Lord. Again, service. So, therefore, Kaviraj Goswami has said, Ishra Parama Krishna? Ekala Ishra Krishna. Arsabhritya. Ekala Ishra Krishna. There's only one supreme controller. Everyone else is his servant. Even himself in his other expansions. Even Lord Balaram acts as the servant of Krishna in so many ways. He's Krishna, but he's in the mood of the servant of Krishna. It's one of the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he can appear in so many forms at once and still be the same person. The Eka Brahma Dutiya Nasti. There's only one absolute truth. Eka Brahma Dutiya Nasti. The impersonalist philosophers think this means that there must be no qualities, no form, no name, no activities in the absolute, in the ultimate feature. But the Vaishnavas understand that this one absolute non-dual personality of Godhead appears in multiple forms. But still they remain one. This just like these Purusha avatars, it appears that they're three. Actually, they're one, but they appear in three manifestations. Now, this is by their transcendental potency. Similarly, Krishna ultimately is one, but to enjoy multifarious pastimes and to uplift the living beings through his pastimes, he appears in so many different forms. Asankhena, so many forms that nobody can count how many there are. And the source of all these forms is Lord Balaram. Krishna, although he's one, still he enjoys by appearing in different forms. And the forms are all separately constituted. They're one, but they're existing separately. Srila Prabhupada explains that the yogis can expand themselves in up to eight forms. The yogi can be so powerful, like that Sobhari Muni. He expanded himself. He was meditating under water and undergoing severe tapasya, but he happened to have to see two fish engaged in marine romantic activities. And his mind became attracted. So he came out, he broke his meditation and came onto the land. Of course, he didn't look very good. He was waterlogged from so many thousands of years. But he approached a king. Could I marry your daughter? So the king looked at him. He didn't think it was a very attractive proposal. But by his yogic power, the Sobhari turned himself into a very handsome man. Then the king's daughter was interested, but the king said, I have, what, eight daughters? Seven daughters? Eight daughters? I think eight daughters. Nine. How many? 90? 50. No. I don't think so. It was just a small number. Eight or nine, like that. So then, if you marry one, you have to marry all. I think so. You can check me later if I'm wrong. If you want one, you have to take the batch. We're not selling individual units. So then the yogi expanded himself into those forms. But the yogis, in those expanded forms, they all have to act the same way. Prabhupada said they're like television expansions. You're on television, if you're watching and I'm watching, when someone raises his hand in my television, then your television is also doing the same thing. So the yogis expand in that way. But Krishna can expand and do so many things separately. When Narad Muni went to visit Krishna in Dwarka, he was surprised that in each palace he visited, he saw the same Krishna, but Krishna is doing completely different things. In one place he's playing chess, in another place he's riding on a horse, in another place he's sitting with his queen, in another place he's getting his receiving a daughter-in-law, in another place his daughter is going for marriage. So many different things were going on in each palace, a different pastime. So Narad Muni was surprised. When he saw one or two, it was all right. Even Narad Muni knows how to expand. He knows the trick. But when he saw that Krishna is appearing in so many forms simultaneously, then he was astonished. So many forms, and in each of them acting differently. Because they're one personality of Godhead, but acting individually. Similarly, when Krishna expands as Sankarshan Baladev, when he expands as the Vaikuntha deities, when he expands in so many different forms, all of them act separately, although they're one personality of Godhead. therefore, we find differences between Krishna and Balaram between themselves and their pastimes. Krishna, we know, is Krishna Sakha. Arjuna is also called Krishna. And Krishna is called Krishna Sakha, the friend of Arjuna. Because he was very partial to the Pandavas. He was always concerned for the welfare of the Pandavas. But Lord Balaram was partial to the Kauravas. He was for the opposite team. Because Duryodhan was the student of Lord Balaram. Duryodhan learned club fighting from Lord Balaram. And naturally the gurus had special affection for the disciple. So Lord Balaram had special affection for Duryodhan. Similarly, when the Subhadra was to be married, then again Krishna was favoring Arjuna, and the Balaram is favoring Duryodhana. In fact, Balaram was very angry when Krishna, by some trick, got Subhadra married to Arjuna. Then he was very angry. Finally, Krishna fell at his feet. That's all right, please. So they have a difference of opinion. They're the same. This is Krishna. We may look at something from two different ways, but we remain the same person. Krishna, he can be two different people, and he can enjoy arguing with himself. He can enjoy arguing with himself. When Krishna married Rukmini, he kidnapped her, and her brother, Rukmi, was pursuing Krishna. You can't steal my sister like this. Then Krishna arrested Rukmi and bound him. And not to kill him, because after all, his brother-in-law, but he instead made him look funny by cutting off his hair in patches in different places, his hair and mustache. So really humiliated him. After all, he's a Kshatriya and so on. So practically worse than death. Sampavitasya chakirtir madanada tirinchita. Worse than death. Then Balaram came on the scene and started rebuking Krishna. Krishna, what is this? He's our relative and you're doing this? Because Rukmini was in distress, naturally. So he, to pacify Rukmini or favor Rukmini, then he was saying, oh, this is Krishna, you shouldn't have done this. This is very unworthy. Then again he was turning to Rukmini and saying, oh, you shouldn't, what's the use of such a brother anyway? And why should you be so attached on the bodily platform? Then again he would turn to Krishna and start scolding Krishna. So in this way there was some pastime. And finally Rukmi was released, and in humiliation he vowed to go off and live in a little village somewhere, which he did. Kundina, I think. He lived in his little village because he'd been beaten. So, in this way, Balaram is playing differently from Krishna. When Lord Balaram came and saw Duryodhan and Bhima fighting in a club duel, then he tried to stop them. He tried to persuade them that you're equally matched. I think Bhima is a little stronger by physical strength, but Duryodhana is more expert in club fighting. After all, he learned from me. So, all things considered, you're equally matched. Nobody's going to come out ahead by their own prowess here. The best thing is stop the fighting. But both parties were so angry at one another that neither of them could They were just mad in fighting spirit. So neither of them paid heed to the word Balaram. They just kept fighting. And Balaram saw it's no use. They're in the hands of destiny. So he went away. Balaram himself had, naturally, he has a fighting propensity. As a Kshatriya, he also likes to participate. But in the battle of Kurukshetra, there was no fighting. Even Krishna didn't take part in the fighting. And for Balaram to have gone on to the other side, opposing Krishna, would not have been very good. So rather than simply watch, he decided to go on pilgrimage. He took the opportunity. And while on pilgrimage, he sanctified so many holy places throughout India and killed many demons also. He killed the... One incident is very significant. The Romaharshan. Romaharshan was a disciple of Vyasadeva, and he was selected to speak on Krishna Katha, or spiritual subject matters. And he was doing so by the appointment of the sages. The sages granted him, as long as this katha is going, your life will go on and on. The 1,000 years they used to do some sacrifices. So they granted him life for the full duration. And he was speaking. But then Lord Balaram, who was touring, came to this place, and all the sages saw Lord Balaram has come, so they all offered their obeisances. Only Romaharshan remained sitting as he was. Because the rule is that the speaker doesn't have to get down from his seat. He is representing Krishna, he's representing Vyasadeva, or he's representing the Lord. So the representative person who's acting as the Lord's representative in the function need not get down from the seat to offer respect to anyone else. That's the rule. Just like normally we respect anyone, offer obeisances. But if you're taking prasadam, then you don't have to. We're already honoring prasadam, so we don't have to interrupt. So the person who's representing the Lord on sitting on the Vyasasana doesn't have to offer obeisances to anyone. And considering that, Romaharshan remains seated. But Lord Balaram was dissatisfied because Romaharshan should have considered that this is not an ordinary person. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's come. Lord Balaram is considered the original spiritual master. He's the original spiritual master. And therefore, everyone deserves to offer respect to Lord Balaram. So Lord Balaram remembered that this Romaharshan, he was a low-class person. He was born of a sutta, as a sutta, from a pratiloma marriage. According to Vedic consideration, if the husband is superior to the wife, that's all right. For example, if the husband is a Brahmin, coming from a Brahmin family, and the wife is coming from a Kshatriya or a Vaishya family, that's all right. That's called anulom. But if the wife is coming from a Brahmin family, and the husband is coming from a Kshatriya or Vaishya family, that's not good. Or if she's coming from a Kshatriya family, he's coming from a Vaishya family. That's called pratilom. Then the child of such a marriage is considered to be of a lower caliber. So this Romaharshan happened to be such a person, product of a pratiloma marriage. So that meant that he was not very qualified materially, but because he was a student of Vyasadeva, well then, this isn't considered. Vaishnave jati bhuti, Archye Vishnu Shiladir, Gurushu Naramati, Vaishnave jati bhuti. We don't consider that Vaishnava is belongs to a particular caste or a particular family or a particular this or that. He's not an ordinary man any more than the deity is an ordinary stone. Anyone who thinks that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, or that a Vaishnava is a member of a particular caste, or that the deity of the Lord is stone, or that the Ganga is ordinary water, he's described as Narakisa. He's a hellish person, a hellish minded person. So no one considered. But then when Ramaharshan acted that way, then Lord Balaram recalled that he's a low class person anyway, and he's sitting on this asana. And he's supposed to be acting as guru or acharya, but he's not respecting me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnava mukho girnam bhutam harigatam. One shouldn't hear from a non-Vaishnava. A Vaishnava upadishtenam antrenam. Like that, the person who's not a Vaishnava, he's not fit to be guru. And he's not offering respects to the original Vishnu, Lord Balaram. So Lord Balaram, therefore, decided he's not fit to be here. He killed him. He took a kusha straw, and with this kusha straw, using it as a weapon, he killed Ramaharshan. Kusha is just a straw. What will you do? No one says, "Oh, you can't carry this straw on an airplane." But by the potency of Lord Balaram, the weapon was sufficient to kill Ramaharshan. Then the sages were a little disturbed. They explained to Lord Balaram that we granted him a benediction, that as long as the katha was going on, as long as the yagya was going on, he'd continue to live. And now you've killed him. Lord Balaram said, "Oh, all right, then I can bring him back." They said, "Well, no, you must have some purpose, you have some intention, so you don't have to do that, don't do that." So then Lord Balaram was in a little difficulty, because the person shouldn't live and shouldn't die. He shouldn't have been killed and he shouldn't be brought back to life. Then what to do? Lord Balaram, by his fine discretion, found that here's the son of Ramaharshan. So he placed that son on the asana, said, "You can transfer your benediction to him." Because according to Shastra, the son is the representative of the father. If the son is present, then the father is present. Therefore, according to Vedic culture, in the presence of the son especially, the mother should not remarry. What is that? Yes, there are different enemies in household or life. If the father dies in debt, then he's an enemy. If the wife is too good looking, she's an enemy. Rina Putra Shatru Pandita. So the father who dies in debt, the wife who's too good looking, the son who's a fool and a rascal, or the mother who's avyabhicharini, right? So she marries again, she has some man other than the father. That's then she's an enemy. Well, these are all enemies in household or life. So anyway, the son is representative of the father. So the father is not dead, he's here, the son is here. A woman who has her son is not considered widow. Her son is there. So the benediction was transferred. then, that's all right, thank you. Then the sages were a little, all right, that problem is solved. But they suggested to Lord Balaram that it would not be inappropriate, if you so desire, to undergo some tapasya. Because after all, you've killed a Brahmin. So some tapasya would be appropriate. Of course, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can do whatever you like. But it would be instructive for the people in general. It would be good if you were to do some tapasya. Well, Lord Balaram agreed. The first tapasya was to kill one demon. This shows that tapasya can be fun. Lord Balaram enjoys killing demons. This particular demon was obnoxious. His name was Balwa. And his business was, he used to show up at the sacrifice periodically, dark moon night, I think. And he would desecrate the whole arena. He would strew unclean substances, I think urine and stool and blood and, you know, whatever, everywhere, and spoil everything. So Krishna, Balaram, dragged him down with his plow and smashed him with his club. Lord Balaram has these two weapons. Krishna has a flute. Balaram has a... Of course, when Krishna and Balaram are playing as cowherd boys, then Balaram also has a flute, buffalo horn. They have these similar cowherd paraphernalia. But especially he's seen with his club and his plow. So plow is good for cowherd boys. We see the cowherds carrying plows. But Balaram uses it especially as a weapon. So with these two weapons he finished off Balwa. And then by the request of the sages he went on pilgrimage to so many places. So these are some of the activities of Lord Balaram. Later he approached the Kauravas. There was some disagreement because the son of Krishna had kidnapped Duryodhana's daughter, and there was naturally some friction between the Kauravas and the Jadus on that account. And Balaram thought that the Kauravas, there we have a close relationship. So while the Yadus were preparing to wage war on them, Balaram thought, better than having a war, I'll speak to them and they'll adjust. But when he went to them, he found that they were adamant. And first they were very happy, oh, Lord Balaram has come. They gave him a nice reception. But then when he explained his purpose, they became arrogant. And who do these Yadus think they are? We're the main rulers, and they're just tributaries. And they're able to use the royal insignia by our permission. They're protected. They're under our protection. And now they're thinking they're on top. They're challenging us. Who do they think they are? And so in this way they insulted the Jadus, and implicitly Krishna also, because Krishna was the leader of the Jadu dynasty, practically speaking. So then Balaram became very angry. Lord Balaram can become, he can be very merciful, but he can become very angry also. He became so angry, and he said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the demigods offer their obeisances at his lotus feet, and you're thinking that he's ruling by your permission, by your mercy. So he, in this way, rebuked them, and he became so furious that he was ready to drag the whole of Hastinapur into the Jamuna. But then they became submissive and humble. And they became submissive and humble. Well, there are many activities of Lord Balaram described in Srimad Bhagavatam. The activities of the Purusha avatars are also his activities. The activities of Sheshanag and the Ananta, all the avatars, all the Vishnus, they're all his expansions. But especially Kaviraj Goswami is pointing out that he appears as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Balaram is Lord Nityananda himself. Nityananda himself is Lord Balaram. Srila Prabhupada said, I established this temple in Vrindavan to show this point. We have Gaura-Nitaya, then we have Krishna Balaram. So this Gaura-Nitaya and Krishna Balaram are identical. Mm-hmm. They're identical. But they come to uplift the fallen souls by the chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama. So we can offer our obeisances to Lord Balaram and pray for his mercy. It's said that without spiritual strength, bala, no one can make any spiritual advancement. Without the mercy of Lord Balaram, without the mercy of the spiritual master who's representing Lord Balaram, we can't expect to make any progress. So we can pray for his mercy and remember his transcendental nature and activities. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? Okay.
When you were talking about the fact that Krishna expands himself to 16,000
Krishnas.
What was his expansion such as Lord Balaram went down? You know, although they are Krishna, they are not the original.
Although they're Krishna?
Yes, they are not the original.
Yes, although they're Krishna, all these expansions from Lord Balaram onward, although they're Krishna, they're not Krishna. But they're Krishna.
Right. My question is that when he expanded himself into those 16,000 Krishna, were all those 16,000 original Krishna, as opposed
to... Yes, when Krishna expands that way into so many different forms, then you can't distinguish that this is the original, these are the expansions. They're all... Mm. But from another angle of view, however Krishna is appearing, he's always the same Supreme Person because he's one absolute truth. The example is given in Brahma Sangita that you have a jewel, and from one angle of vision it appears one color, another angle, another. But it's the same jewel, seen differently. So Krishna appears sometimes to be a king, sometimes to be a sage, sometimes to be half lion, half man. Actually, it's the same Krishna, but it's seen in different pastimes. Another question? Yes.
Maharaj, as you mentioned, that Krishna expands to the same Krishna. When Krishna sees his own replica in the marble, how could you know that he becomes so much astonished that who is that one? As in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, you mentioned once. When he sees his own picture,
When Krishna sees his own picture in the mirror, then he becomes attracted. Because it's Krishna. Right? Krishna attracts, he's all attractive, so he attracts even himself. He attracts even himself. Krishna sees this reflection, he thinks, oh, who's this? So attractive. Yeah. All attractive. Yes.
That's the point you raised of the Romasha Rishi and that he was
Romaharshan.
Romaharshan Rishi, and that his mother was of a higher caste, but father was of a lower caste.
Mm.
And in the Vedic culture, the progeny is considered to be a low caste.
Mm.
But on the other hand, we understand that caste, etc., is by karma and not by birth. So it's not necessary someone born in a Brahmin family is a Brahmana unless he has the qualities of a Brahmana.
That's true. It's by qualification. Caste is by qualification, not by birth. But previously, practically speaking, a person born in such and such family would have those, he would be considered to belong to that section. Person born in such and such family would actually have the qualities. They used to be so particular that a person born in a Brahmin family would naturally have all the Brahminical qualities. Person born in a Kshatriya family would naturally have all the Kshatriya qualities. Therefore, when Yudhisthira Maharaj, when Parikshit Maharaj was born, Yudhisthira Maharaj was inquiring from the astrologers, will this boy have all the Kshatriya qualities? Will he be generous like his forefathers? Will he be righteous? Will he be powerful? And they were assuring him, yes, he'll have all these qualities. So that was the result of being particular. Samskaras were performed, Garbhadhan samskar and other samskaras, so that the child would have all the qualities that come from would be worthy of the family. Just as, of course, in the West, if in an aristocratic family, then they send the child to an aristocratic school and they do all sorts of things to try to see that the child lives up to his name. Of course, what kind of family is another question. What kind of caliber they actually are. But at least, according to their best understanding, they try to see that the child is, if the parents are aristocratic, then the child should be also trained in an aristocratic way. He should be cultured. He should be whatever they're supposed to be. And it used to be like that. Now, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everyone is born Shudra practically speaking. Because these systems are no longer followed, the considerations are no longer taken into account. People fall in love and then they live together or get married or whatever it is, and someplace along the line they have children. But it's not by intention, as children are born this way or that way. So in Kali Yuga, the Shastras say everybody's a Shudra. But previously, practically speaking, anyone who took birth in such and such family, it was expected that they would have the qualities. It only had to be confirmed by their actual deeds. Is that okay? Mm-hmm.
Now it's also family conscious this way that if someone takes birth into a Brahmin family, also again the birth is considered as a guna karma yoga. So that if he hasn't got that karma, then how can he take birth into a Brahmin family?
That if he hasn't got that karma, how could he take birth in a Brahmin family? So that therefore, if he's taken birth in the family, he must be qualified. That might be a generally expectation, that if he's taken birth in a Brahmin family, it must mean that he's meant to be a Brahmin. But it's not for sure. Sometimes who was it? The sons of Rishabhdev, some of them were Brahmins, some of them were Kshatriyas. Sometimes it's not according to birth. Sometimes it goes a different way. Sometimes just like Ashwatthama, he was the son of a Brahmin, but he was worthy of being like the burnt remnants of his family. He was worse than a Vlecha. And killed the sleeping sons of Draupadi. So he was sentimentally still Draupadi considered him, oh no, he's a Brahmin. But Krishna said, he's not a Brahmin, he's a butcher. So then they took the jewel, he had a jewel, some massive hair with a jewel in it that signified his Brahminical status. So Krishna indicated to Arjuna they should cut it off. So they cut it off, that means killing his Brahminical status. And they tied him up just like an animal. First they tied him up just like an animal, then they cut off his jewel, and then they drove him out. And it's not
Brahmin. Of course, you know, with discussions
like
this, Bhagavad Gita tells, Trichinam Srimatam Gehe Chugamashta, so some of them might have been born because in the previous life they have done something good. So
yes. Therefore, we can understand something about a person's good or bad fortune by his birth, but the birth is less important than the qualities. Prabhupada gave the example that one may be born in the family of a high court judge, but that doesn't make him automatically a high court judge. Sometimes they may become a thief even. He has to take the training, but it's an edge if he's born in the. We see there are families where, you know, like generations, father was a judge, his grandfather was a judge, now he's a judge, his son will probably be a judge. Because it's handed, the tradition is going on. But when the tradition is neglected, therefore that was one of Arjuna's arguments in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If we kill all the elders, the family traditions will be lost. Kuladharma Sanatana. The family traditions are being preserved by the elders. If they're killed, then everyone will become Varnasankara, everything will be finished. So the tradition is there, but when it's neglected. So now, Kali Yuga, again, traditions are not very good, and therefore Sankirtan. Something else? Yes? Why is Krishna called Dauji? If he's Dauji means older brother, and Krishna is called Ramanuja, younger brother of Lord Ram, because Krishna is younger. Balaram appears first. They're the same person, but they're appearing in different roles. Just like sometimes they have some theater production, and the whole thing is one person. Huh? Sometimes, you know, and he comes on in one scene and he's the father. He comes in the next scene, he's the son. He comes in the next scene, he's the brother. He comes in the next scene, he's something else. And it's all one person. But he's appearing in different roles. But, of course, you have to write those plays very carefully because he can only be one person at a time. But Krishna can be many at once. It's only Krishna. But he expands himself into two to enjoy. Just like sometimes the parents think that we have one son, it would be nice if we had another son, then they could be like company for one another. Sometimes parents think like that. Because then when there's two boys, then it's nice, they can enjoy together, have friendly activities. So Krishna also, to enjoy, he's enjoying, but to enjoy more, he expands himself as Lord Balaram, and then the two brothers enjoy their pastimes as cowherd boys. More enjoyment. But he's one person. Just like Krishna, he expands himself by expanding his energy also. He expands generally two ways, by expanding himself and expanding his energy. The Srimati Radharani is the pleasure and energy of Krishna. The living entities are the jiva shakti, marginal energy of Krishna. And even the material world is Krishna's energy. It's meant for Krishna's pleasure. So everything is expanded. So these are expansions of Krishna's energy. The energy is not different from the energetic, so in that sense Radharani and Krishna are one. And they become one again in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To enjoy, Krishna becomes two, Radha and Krishna. And then to experience the taste of devotional service, again they become one as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are expansions of Krishna's energy, and then there are expansions of Krishna himself. Like when Krishna became all the cowherd boys, Brahma stole the cowherd boys, then Krishna became all the boys. Actually, all the boys were Krishna. Therefore, previously in Vrindavan, the cowherd ladies had their sons, but they were more partial toward Krishna. They had their sons, they were affectionate to their sons, but they became more affectionate to Krishna. Or they were always more affectionate to Krishna. But then, after their boys were stolen, then Krishna was thinking, now what to do? If I go back to the village without the other boys, the mothers will be devastated. So then he expanded himself as all the boys. Then all of a sudden, all the mothers had as much affection for their sons as they did for Krishna. Because all the sons were Krishna. The ladies all had maternal affection for Krishna, so Krishna reciprocated by actually becoming their sons. Similarly, the cows. The cows used to have so much affection for Krishna, they also had affection for their calves, but mostly for Krishna. But then, after Brahma stole the calves, then again, the mothers will be devastated, the cows. So Krishna became the calves also. And then all of a sudden, the cows became mad after the calves. Cows were being pastured up on the hill, and the calves down below, and all of a sudden, the cows just started like running. You know, as if they had only two legs. You know, two front legs became one, two back legs became one. They're just running down the hill. And the cowherd men, of course, it's the business of the cowherd men to keep the cows and calves separate. Otherwise, the calves drink all the milk. But the cowherd men couldn't stop them. Because they just were so overwhelmed with affection, the cows, that they just ran after the calves. They were just overwhelmed with affection for the calves. Then the cowherd men were feeling all discouraged, you know, humiliated that they couldn't even stop a batch of cows from running down the hill. But then they came down the hill after the cows, and their sons were there. And all of a sudden the cowherd men were just like overwhelmed with ecstatic love for their sons, because the sons were all Krishna. So these are Krishna's pastimes, that he's one person, but he can expand in many different forms. And still he's one person. Advaita machuta manadi manantaru. Advaita, they're all one form. But inconceivably, they're anantarupa, innumerable forms.
Yes?
About what you just finished explaining, Krishna assumed the form of all those popular boys. And when he did that, it wasn't just that he, you know, had the same physical appearance. He assumed the
Krishna assumed the form and personality of each individual cow, each individual calf, and each individual boy.
Right. So, since it was the appearance as well as the personality, then what is it that the gopis, you know, the mothers of these boys felt? You know, I know that.
Because they were Krishna. They may have looked like their sons.
They
may have acted like their sons. They may have been just their sons in every respect, but actually they were Krishna. Just like sometimes, yeah, they were Krishna. So they were.
You think of a person.
As the sum total of his characteristics.
Yeah.
But even like Krishna. Somehow or other, anyway, he was showing all the everything of the cowherd boys, individual boys, but still he was Krishna. So you can't stop him from his Krishna-ness from coming out. Just his the his identity as Krishna was attractive, even though they didn't know he was Krishna. They thought these were our sons, but what is it? All of a sudden we have so much affection for our sons because he was Krishna. Yeah, it was Balaram's birthday, so he wasn't among the stolen. There, but then he came and saw. He saw this incident with the cows running down the hill and the cowherd man becoming stunned. He looked at he understood something's going on here. This is not the usual story. Then he thought about it, and then he understood what's going on. And he said to Krishna, that I think this is... something's going on here. All of these cows and boys, cows and calves, they're all you. You're expanding yourself in the form of all these cows and all these calves and boys. So then Krishna admitted, yeah, this is the situation. Balaram stole everyone, so I'm doing this.
Actually, it is said that normally when cows and the cow boys come in other days, they used to go directly to Krishna and begin to lick Krishna, but this day they are coming to Balaram because Krishna never can love himself, he has to love his devotees. They are going to Balaram,
Who's going to Balaram?
Coward boys and the cows that were approaching Balaram within those 1 year, when Brahma stole the cows.
Cows and boys were approaching
Balaram, either, when they come from the forest, they normally follow Krishna, like they are around Krishna.
Oh, I don't know. Where is this described?
Actually, this is described as, they say, in Gopal Champu.
I don't know. I haven't read Gopal Champu.
Jiva Goswami.
Yeah, I know what the book is, but I haven't read it.
And they used to just come to Balaram no more with Krishna. So there it is described that Krishna normally does not approach love in himself, rather he loves his devotee. So that day, for that 1 year, the cows...
Oh, I see, because the cows were actually Krishna and the boys were actually Krishna, so they weren't attracted to Krishna because they were Krishna, so they were attracted to Balaram. That's Gopal Champu. Okay. More nectar. All right, shall we stop here? Thank you all very much.